Moncrief on News Talk.
This week, the Chicago Tribune got rid of its film critic. And this hasn't been a one-off. In the last few months, several US publications have stripped down their arts coverage. So what's going on? For the time being, at least, Esther McCarthy is a film reviewer. Afternoon, Esther.
Hello from the bunkers of film writing.
Yes.
John, how are you?
Are you worried?
Yeah, of course. I have been for a long time, though. And that worry becomes future planning. And I think if you're working in arts journalism, with decline the way it is, you are future planning if you're smart and diversifying into other areas. Because, you know, this is across the board in print journalism in particular. But I think what's jarring about this is that for the first time since the 1950s, the Chicago Tribune no longer has a chief film critic. And that's a bit depressing because America has a wonderful history of film writers. A predecessor of Michael Phillips, who was the journalist who parted ways with the Tribune this week, was Gene Siskel, who's considered one of the greats, you know. Across town in the Chicago Sun-Times, he had the much admired Roger Ebert. Mm. And of course, then the wonderful Pauline Kael, who I still enjoy reading her mini reviews. They're so funny. She wrote for The New Yorker for 3 decades. So there is a legacy that's being lost here, I suppose, and that's why it's important. In the context of what's going on in the world right now, the job woes of arts writers aren't really a major concern for members of the public, let's face it. But I do think there's still a large and healthy interest in the stories and journalism that arts writers produce, you know. Mm. Like just this week, you had Venice Film Festival kicking off, officially the beginning of awards season. You'd see a lot of coverage beyond the art sections, you know, in the newspapers, in magazines this weekend, through features and through news. You'll see George Clooney on the front pages, not just the art sections. So I would argue that this is happening potentially at a time where interest in and awareness of film among members of the public is only getting higher.
Yeah. So why then are publications seem to be singling out arts journalists? Now, obviously, it's a hard time for the traditional media and all that kind of stuff, so there's cutbacks all over, but they seem to be focusing on arts journalists particularly. Why do you think that is?
It's puzzling. And I thought Michael Phillips' statement, you know, he took ownership really of his own departure, and he posted on social media that his options were to stick around for a newsroom reassignment to be named later. So he's going to be deployed into a new role that he didn't even know what it was. Not a great way to treat someone who's been writing for you for 26 years, lads. Mm. Or else take a buyout. And he went with the buyout. He also said, I've had a ball, and I think this is telling as well, like Chicago, you know, Phillips is a theatre as well as film critic, and Chicago is one of the great, great art cities, you know. I've had the fortune of being there. He just wrote, I've had a ball in a great city, working with people who care. I'm writing about a platonic ideal of a great city's devotion to theatre and cinema. So, you know, it's kind of sad. It really is. Mm. But I think this is what's happening because people are being redeployed and they're walking. So, you know, senior journalists are kind of getting out of their own volition. Richard Roper left the Chicago Sun-Times earlier this year. A.O. Scott left the New York Times about 2 years ago. A very, very, very high-profile walk that was. And it's definitely cutbacks. They're definitely trying to move people into writing in other areas, and they're definitely getting kickback on that, I think. Mm. 4 arts writers in the New York Times recently stayed put after having their jobs reassigned. And the mad one altogether is Vanity Fair, which announced a refocusing on core coverage areas such as Hollywood, which included, bizarrely, firing their film critic, hmm, Richard Lawson, as well as several other journalists covering the exact areas that the magazine is claiming to be beefing up. Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, it's puzzling. I think people are walking under pressure, under jobs pressure and under managerial pressure, and then also just being made redundant as well.
Yeah. Now, could a factor in this be what the film companies would like? Have you noticed when you go along to press screenings of films that, you know, because Dublin's a fairly small town, you'd probably be going along for years and it's the same half dozen people. But has that changed in recent times? Are you seeing faces you've never seen before because somebody has a YouTube channel?
I'd be fair first to the film companies here and to the Irish reps of the big studios here. I've been doing this for 26 years and I've never once had pushback on a negative review. And I often get asked that, and I have to be fair on that front, because it doesn't happen, you know. Having said that, I think film companies, like other media, are struggling to get eyes and ears, and they are definitely dipping a toe into the influencer pot, you know. So I think that really took off, in particular during the whole Barbieheimer thing, where that became a massive kind of public interest event generated by public interest itself, which was the lovely thing about it, I think, rather than studios. It just really took off, the fact that Oppenheimer and Barbie were releasing on the same dates, you know. And we had the fun then of Cillian Murphy and Margot Robbie buying tickets for each other's films and stuff. It was really a nice kind of good news industry story. But I think you really saw the taking off around that time of the influencers getting involved. And definitely at evening screenings in particular, you see a lot more influencers at screenings. But I think they can coexist peacefully. Like, I don't think it should be a them and us thing, you know. And I think, you know, the public aren't stupid. They know one medium from another, and they understand the difference between the content, for want of a better word, that both formats produce, you know.
Yeah. No, but also, as well as that, I mean, I suppose social media is a factor in here, but is there perhaps a cultural change, in the sense of, it's a bit like, you know, you and I are old enough to remember this, people had, you know, you'd phone up a radio station to play a song for you because they read out your name, but also you didn't have the money to go and buy that record. That has all but died out because everyone has that instant access on their phone. By the same token, why do you need to read someone's version of what a film might be like? And you can go and see it yourself and express your opinion about it. And there, you know, there's loads of those kind of forums now. So there's perhaps a sense that we don't need that level of expertise. I can do that myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's the internet what did it. Let's face it. You know, everyone's television now. Some of my favourite film writers are bloggers. It's some of the most reliable film writers that I would be fact-checking off, particularly on, say, Marvel stuff that I wouldn't remember who the character was before the 18 films previously, the way Marvel fans seem to know. I would be fact-checking among the blogging community there. So, you know, yeah, there is a bigger pool, but I also think then that drives bigger interest. So I think the two factors here are A, the digitization of media and the media's difficulty in monetizing that, and B, then just cutbacks in the media across the board, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it will be that this has been going on for 15 years. You know what I mean? I left a staff job 10 years ago and thought I would be a copywriter by now, and I'm still making a full-time living in journalism.
Okay.
Now, I know that the walls are closing all the time and that freaks people out sometimes, but like the amount of times I've sat in meetings and heard there'll be no newspapers in 5 years' time for about 20 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still very, very healthy newspaper sales in Ireland, but it's a shrinking pool, and the accountants don't really want know what to do with that, so they're getting rid of people who aren't very costly. You know, a lot of critics, the staff writers in Chicago and New York aside, a lot of film reviewers work on a freelance basis. It's not an expensive cost, and I think it would be a loss to people to not have that relationship with writers or broadcasters that they've come to rely on and trust over the years, because the night out of the movies isn't a cheap night out, and to have good people doing quality control for members of the public, whether you agree with them or not, you know, I think there's a value to it, and it's important to have for people.
But isn't that a point that you've just touched on there? The cinema is an expensive night out. Fewer, notwithstanding Barbenheimer, that like the cinema is kind of is struggling at the moment. But not as many people are going to the cinema. Therefore, there's less need for, because they're thinking, I have a Netflix subscription or an Amazon subscription. I'll just wait for 6 months and watch it at home. So therefore, there's less need for the film reviewer to give you that guide.
Yeah, and I think that the loss of the film reviewer will be felt more by film companies, ironically, than anywhere else. And I think film companies are the last organisations who want to see this happening, because, you know, there, where there is good, healthy, honest film journalism, then there is an audience to that journalism, and that audience is going to the cinema, you know?
Mm. Crikey. Well, we just have to hang on and hope for the best. Esther McCarthy is a film reviewer, also soon to be a copywriter and landscape gardener. Esther, thanks a million.
Godspeed, Sean. Godspeed.
Godspeed. One texter says, I think that critics are generally just failed artists and their opinions should be taken with a rather large bucket of salt. Well, Esther isn't a failed artist. Esther has been a film reviewer for decades. And what somebody like Esther would bring to it is obviously an enthusiasm, also a great deal of background knowledge about movies and the like. Now, not everyone agrees with her, and she did mention the whole Marvel thing, and that may be another factor in there as well, that the fervent believers in the Marvel universe get really exercised when anybody criticizes the Marvel universe, especially if that person's a female. I think it's great to have arts coverage because these people usually know the history of the form, but people put way too much sway on whether they like something or not. They're still just human with an opinion. You almost need to shop around and make sure the critic is into the stuff you're into first to put any stock into what they say. Or you could just read more than one review. So is it just going to be boos after three? No, we're going to hang on in there until the bitter end. With movie reviews. Arts is being cut everywhere because everyone thinks they can put nothing into arts ever and life will be grand. AI will do it. We can all just enjoy watching Love Island or some crap like that. Says that's a dystopian view of the future. I've been studying various courses in journalism and film for 30 years. 30 years? Isn't that time you actually went and got a job? The only experience in journalism I have is in my local paper. And I rarely wrote about film. No one cares about the arts. Someone else says, I love going to a film I know nothing about with no actors I know. If it's good, I will tell friends it's good and to go and see it, that it's worth their time, but not to read anything about it. It's more fun to go and discover it with no expectations. Well, indeed. But as Esther was saying, it's pricey to go to the cinemas. About time they're getting rid of film critics. They're just snobs who look down at any movie that isn't a costume drama, says the texter, who obviously you felt, there must be a story there somewhere, obviously you felt at some point in your life or maybe on a continuing basis that you're being looked down on by film critics. And I wonder why that is. What we could do is we could bring you here into News Talk, we could arrange some film critics to come in and give you a hug. Once the critics are gone, movies will cease to be made, says another texter. The Oscars will be awarded to 15-second TikToks in a few years. Yeah, and they're already making them. I recently watched Oppenheimer. It was really boring. It made The Irishman seem fresh. Long, boring movies are killing Hollywood. Yeah, I imagine there's lots of things that may be killing Hollywood, if Hollywood is dying at all. It takes 2 hours to read all the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, so you might as well watch the movie without the review, says another texter. Right, well, let's hope that, well, we'll see what happens, but let's hope it's not the death of reviewers or of movies indeed.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.